Scripture reading today will be coming from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version. And it reads, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, according to the promise of the life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers in a pure conscience, how unceasing is my remembrance of thee in my supplications. Night and day, longing to see thee, remembering thy tears, that I may be filled with the joy, having been reminded of the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in thee also. For which cause I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and love and discipline.
What an honor it is to be in front of the people of God, to be able to say a word on God's behalf as we are teaching and preaching what thus saith the Lord. I do want to let you know that if you're visiting with us, you are indeed our honored guest. We're thankful for you being here. Hope, pray, and trust that if you're a member here, the Lord's church, that you're making good decisions, that you're looking to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, and that you are striving to do the will of God in every aspect of your life. I appreciate the reading of the scripture. I'm thankful for men like the Apostle Paul, who had something to say by inspiration of the Holy Spirit to Timothy, giving him words of encouragement. If you will, look at 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7, that which was read in your hearing. And I want us to capitalize on something in the New King James Version, for the ASV uses the word discipline. But the New King James Version uses the phrase sound mind. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. For God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We stop and we consider that great phrase there, and it is a beautiful phrase, especially the part about having a sound mind. What does it mean to have a sound mind? Well, in order for one to have a sound mind, one has to first be sound in the faith. And so we'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. Turn your Bibles to Titus chapter 2 and look at verse number 1. Here Paul is telling Titus, another preacher, he tells him that he needs to speak those things that befit or are proper for sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. This morning I want us to talk about the beauty of being sound in the faith. Hopefully, the majority of people want to be healthy. Hopefully, people want to do what they need to do in order to be healthy. We consider great words like that, and we know that what Paul told Timothy, that bodily exercise profited little. But if you notice, he didn't say it didn't profit anything. When we consider working out or eating right, you know, that takes discipline. We understand that when we are striving to live healthy, it requires us to be healthy in our mind, our body, and spirit, all three aspects of man. That takes discipline. But this morning, I don't want us to talk about physical health. I want us to talk about spiritual health. Because when you consider the figurative language that Paul uses there, it is great because we understand that if we are going to be sound in the faith, then it's going to require us to be healthy. When we consider the faith, before we even get to soundness, there was on one occasion where Jude told those brethren there that they needed to contend earnestly for the faith. Bible teaches us that there is only one faith, Ephesians 4 and verse 4 and 5. And according to that one faith, we ought to be one that strive to live according to that faith. Paul would get on Peter because of his attitude toward the Gentiles in Galatians 2:11 through 16, because they were not walking straightforward according to the gospel. It's interesting that when we consider the faith, it's not just this system of teaching, but it is a lifestyle. And we consider those great words because God wants us to live our lives according to the faith. But then, when I consider that phrase, sound mind or sound doctrine, the word sound used to be a word that we use in the Lord's church on many occasions. As a matter of fact, Brother Brian, we used to use that word all the time. Is that preacher sound? Is that a sound congregation? We want to have a guy come in and do a gospel meeting. Well, the first question we need to ask is he sound? What about the eldership that's leading the congregation? Are they sound? We don't ask those questions like we used to. Maybe because gospel preachers are not preaching sound doctrine. But what does it mean to be sound according to the Holy Spirit? According to the Apostle Paul, according to Peter, according to the Holy Writ, what does it mean to be sound and the beauty of being sound in the faith? Why is it so important? The term sound means to be well, to be in good health. Remember, we're not talking about the physical body, even though we can include that. But we're talking about the spiritual man. When we consider being sound in Titus chapter 1 and verse number 13, notice what Titus there has to say. He says, this testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, talking about those who were gluttons, those Cretans. They needed to be checked, if you will. They needed to be corrected. Why? So they could be sound in the faith. We consider being sound in the faith, and at times it requires us being rebuked. Why? Because God's word is sound. It's healthy. It is required in order for us to see clearly, if you will, to be in good health. We consider 1 Timothy 1 and verse number 10, false lifestyles corrupt sound living. All on and on, and we can go as it relates to being sound in the faith. What does it mean to be sound? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and look at verse number 3. Here, Paul tells Timothy, again a young preacher, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, meaning they won't put up with it. And we're in those times now that people don't like sound doctrine. They go about heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They want someone to tell them what they want to hear. In order to be sound, healthy, one has to hear the truth. It's the same thing when you go to the doctor. Hopefully, when you go to the doctor and he gives you a prognosis, hopefully he's telling you the truth. You know what happens when you don't believe that prognosis? You go and get another one, second opinion. And so, when we stop and we consider, even as the congregation, Brother Randy said in his prayer, and I appreciate it, when we consider what's being preached from the pulpit, don't take it because Brother Bonner said it, because Brother Brian said it, because Brother Roy said it. You take it because that's what God says. And so, when we consider Acts 17 and verse number 11, there the Bible teaches us that they were checking behind the Apostle Paul to make sure that the things in which he was saying was so. Why is that so important for us? It's important for us because we want to make sure that we are imbibing sound doctrine. Friends, we are what we eat. I was talking to a good brother yesterday and we was talking about health. And I said, bro, we are what we eat. It's the same spiritually. We are what we eat. And so when we take in sound doctrine, that should lead. Now, friends, that should lead to sound living. That should lead. But it doesn't always lead to that. I can prove that. Jesus would say in Luke 6:46, why call you me Lord, Lord? Do not the things which I say. Which tells us that one can be hearing sound doctrine but not practice it. And so when we consider being sound in the faith, what does it mean? Turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs here. In Proverbs chapter 8, we find wisdom personified. We know, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 22 and 23, maybe 24, we find that Jesus is the power and wisdom of God. In essence, when you consider the wisdom of God, consider your Lord. Consider our Lord and Savior, the Master, Jesus the Christ, the Word of God. But in Proverbs 8 and verse number 14, I find it very interesting that soundness has always been with God. In Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 14, there he says, counsel is mine, sound wisdom. Sound wisdom? Wisdom is sound when it comes forth from God. And this is why we have to stay with God's word. We have to stay with what God has said. In Proverbs 3 and verse number 21, notice what the Bible there has to say. My son, let them not depart from your eyes. Talking about his word, his wisdom. He says, keep sound wisdom and discretion. This is what we ought to be teaching our children. This is what we ought to be reminding our children of, healthy teaching. And this is why the pulpit must be sound, Brian. Why? So our children can receive sound doctrine. Our families can hear what thus saith the Lord. I'm reminded of what one preacher said on one occasion, that when we're praying, we're talking to God. But when preaching is being done, God is talking to us. And so I'm reminded of 1 Peter 4 and verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. To be sound, God's word has to go forth. Which means that to be sound, even in my own life, I got to go to the very wisdom of God, the power of God. I got to go to the word of God. Too many people are resting upon their own understanding. They're resting upon what they think is right. Well, this is what I think. This is what I hope. This is what I believe. Well, it doesn't matter. What matters is, what does God say? And so when you consider that word sound there, I found it very interesting. It literally means to be upright, erect. You know what sound doctrine is? It's upright. It's erect. It's straight up. When someone is sound in the faith, they're upright. They're erect. And one thing I love about Johnny Ramsey, I was listening to him this morning. I tell you, boy, as I was sitting on my couch, he's sitting there preaching. I'm like, preach, man. Ain't nothing like hearing good preaching, boy, I tell you. You know, every now and then, we ought to be thankful for some good preaching, right? Sometimes I think we're thankful for everything but good preaching. Number one, the beauty of being sound in the faith. Number one, we must be sound in doctrine. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, here we have a New Testament view of what took place in the garden. A New Testament view of what took place in the garden. If we're going to be sound, we got to be sound in the doctrine. What is doctrine? It's teaching. It's instruction. Reminded of the word of God and the power that it has as it relates to instruction and righteousness. Here in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 1 through 4, notice what the Bible says. Paul, as he is writing to the Corinthian brethren, second letter, most likely even the third letter, and he is getting on the brethren here because of their attitude. He says, oh, that you would bear with me in a little folly. And indeed, you do bear with me, for I am jealous for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin, as one that is whole, one that is healthy, one that is pure to Christ. But I fear, now notice what he says here, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived or beguiled Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may be well put up with. Now notice the word simplicity that is in verse number 3. I found it very interesting that that word there literally means to be single in mind. It is not the word of something just simple. Well, the simplicity, just something simple in Christ. No, to be single in mind. To be single in mind means to be healthy. To be sound. God wants us to be sound in the faith. He wants us to be healthy. And what happened to Eve? She was beguiled. Literally, this is what the devil did to Eve. There was no part of her mind untouched by his words. This is why we have to be careful, friends. In order to be sound in the faith, even our very opinions must be based upon the word of God. You know we don't believe that. Most of us don't believe that. I'm not trying to be ugly. I'm just being truthful. And I'm sitting up here trying to play with y'all. A lot of us don't believe that. Why? Because of the world that we live in. I think I made this comment on last week, but I'll make it again this week because I got it from Brother Corey Hall. It is true. When we have attitudes like, well, we just need to agree to disagree when it comes to doctrinal matters, friends, we got problems. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 10, we're supposed to be speaking the same things, be of the same mind, same judgment. You know, even when I have an opinion, I need to honor your opinion. If I don't honor that, Romans 14, I'm in trouble with the Lord. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. That's Bible. And sometimes, because of our selfishness and self-will, what we do is we have our thoughts based upon what we think. But what if God is thinking something totally different? Friends, this is what I've used now. When people say we just agree to disagree, I say, so you're just going to violate 1 Corinthians 1:10 like that? Why don't we spend some time, spend some hours, spend some months, spend some years developing and looking at the text, at the doctrine, in order for us to make sure that we're both sound. But this is what we do. We just agree to disagree. Then we wonder why denominationalism runs rampant. Friends, I'm not being mean. I'm just being right. And the reason why is because when I think of the Godhead, they're one. They're sound. When I think of the apostles, they're one with Jesus Christ and the Spirit and the Father. They're one. And I think about the apostles' doctrine, we're supposed to be one with it. And so maybe I'm off on something. That's fine. But what I need to do is I need to study it out till I become one with God. One with God. I see why divorce runs rampant. Because people don't want to become one. Husband and wives are one, not just in the bedroom, but in mind. That's good preaching. I know it is. Because sometimes, I'm not being arrogant. Don't get mad at me. I'm telling you. Sometimes we just think we're one in the bedroom. No, ma'am, no, sir. We ought to be one in mind. What are we trying to do? We're trying to be one. One with who? One with God. And when we're one with God, we ought to be one with one another. So, Eve stopped becoming one with her husband. She stopped becoming one with God when she started listening to the serpent. She then became unsound. And then what happened? We got what we got today. So what would it take for us to be sound in the faith? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. I know some of y'all didn't like that point, but that's fine. I'm okay with that. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14, notice, it's interesting how God gives us the great picture. Not just what took place in the garden, but then the Apostle Paul with the Corinthians. And now the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 14. Notice, and Adam was not deceived, literally beguiled. But the woman being deceived fell into transgression. What happened? He touched every part of her mind, her soul, her emotions, her will. Isn't that what he does to us when we allow him? When our opinions do not jive with the Word of God, when our opinions are not one with the Word of God, friends, we have to fight hard to become one with God because God is always right and we can possibly be wrong. And so to be sound in the faith will actually help me not only to get along with my brethren, but to help, it'll help me at home, it'll help me in business, it'll help me in this world that I live in. Do you know that when I'm healthy in doctrine, healthy in living and lifestyle, that even my enemies will be at peace with me? When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies are at peace with him. Go look that passage up. It's powerful. And so to be sound in mind, we have to be sound in our doctrine. When the gospel is being preached, y'all come back tonight. Brother Brian Braswell is going to be preaching tonight. I look forward to that lesson. The reason why I bring that up is because him and I, we speak the same things. If he didn't, he wouldn't preach. That's the truth. Ain't got nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with us. And when a man is not sound, he doesn't get to preach here. But when a man is sound, he can preach here. And so we are one when it comes to marriage, divorce, and remarriage, Matthew 19:9. We're one when it comes to the New Testament church, Matthew 16:18-19. We are one when it comes to the deity and the divinity of God, the Godhead, and their roles. And when I consider the roles, I think about the Father. I think about the Word, the Son. I think about the Holy Spirit, then the apostles and prophets, and then the pastors and evangelists and teachers, and then the members. And when we stop and we consider the deity of God and the deity of Christ, friends, we got to be one with God. We got to be healthy and sound in our doctrine, because sound doctrine leads to sound worship. Sound doctrine leads to sound judgments. Sound doctrine leads to sound living. Healthy. I was thinking about this the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact. You know, it's possible to look healthy but not be healthy. There's a few things that's going on that, and I'll go ahead and say this. There's a few things that's going on even in my own body that just ain't right on the inside. But on the outside, I look right. I look okay. But I know I got to go get that checked out. You know, sometimes we lie to ourselves. Some things that's on the inside that we know ain't right. But we just look right. To be healthy, we want to be right on the inside and on the outside. This is no foreign concept. What did Jesus say about those Pharisees? They were whitewashed sepulchers. On the inside, they were full of dead men's bones. On the outside, it was washed and cleaned up and white. And so I stopped and I thought about that. I'm like, Mike, this is a good lesson even for you. Just because you may feel good doesn't mean that things is operating correctly. You know, we need to be thinking like that even spiritually. It's okay to do that. Why? I want to be sound in the faith. To be sound in the faith at times means that I'm going to have to receive chastisement. Hebrews chapter 12. To be sound in the faith, every now and then someone might say, Mike, I need you to look at that. That's fine. Proverbs 9:8. There the Bible teaches us, if you rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. If you rebuke a scorner, he'll hate you. I remember, as we were rearing our kids up, we used to tell them, you're going to be one of two people. You're either going to be one that is wise or a fool. You're either going to be one that is going to love chastisement, meaning the fruit that it bears, or you're not. You can tell a lot about a person when you correct them. The Bible actually teaches us to develop a love for correction. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 12. Those whom God loves, he chastens. If we want to be sound in the faith, we got to receive a little correction at times. You know, we live in 2019, going to 2020. I don't see it getting any better. People don't like to be corrected. There's nothing wrong with correction. It's good for us. It keeps us healthy. It keeps us living. It keeps us vibrant. Had a brother talk to me and he said, man, I'm thinking about getting on some medicine, but I need your wisdom on that. I said, I would do it for about 6 to 8 months, and after that, you need to get off of that. But I said, but in the meantime, you need to be working out and eating right. You get off of it. I'm a living witness. And you used to be on cholesterol medicine and high blood pressure. Told the doctor, I'm not staying on this. I got to get off of this. I got to get to work. You know, you can come out of sin. You know, I know people say, well, once a sinner, always a sinner. Once a cheater, always a cheater. Once a thief, always a thief. Well, Paul said something different. Some such were some of you, but you've been washed. Been justified. You've been sanctified in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Those of us who've been baptized into Christ, who are living faithful right now, We used to be those things, Paul said in Titus 3 and verse 4. I thank God for that. Just because a doctor puts you on medicine don't mean you got to stay on it. But if you got to stay on it, use some wisdom to stay on it. It's okay. Friends, we just got to think about these things. If we're going to be sound in the faith, it's going to require some things out of us at times. Point number two. When we consider being beautiful and being sound in the faith, when we're sound and healthy in the faith, notice this. We can accept persecution from those who oppose Christianity and righteousness. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, turn your Bibles there and notice 17 and 18. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Notice what Paul says. And remember, Paul, he's sound in the faith. Here, he's at the end of his life. He's talking to his son in the faith. But the Lord stood with me, strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles may hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. When I was thinking about that passage, I said, that's the type of attitude we ought to have when we're persecuted. You know what happens when we're not sound in the faith? We crumble. We give up. We give out. Oh, there are some that give up right before they get to their breakthrough, if I can use it that way. Don't give up. As a matter of fact, we keep our eyes on Jesus. Sound doctrine helps us to do that. Sound brethren helps us to do that. Sound marriages helps us to do that. Sound relationships helps us to do those things. And so here, Paul said, no one stood with me, but the Lord did. Sometimes we feel that way. But always keep this in mind, brethren. You're not alone, because Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're never alone, because there's always some brethren. Turn to 1 Peter 5. I just thought about this. In 1 Peter 5, and look at verse number 8 and 9. Friends, we're not alone. Sometimes we're just like Elijah, and we think that we're all by ourselves. Right? We're not by ourselves. Esther, we're not by ourselves. We're not by ourselves. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 8 and 9, notice what your Bible there says. This is encouraging for us. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Your adversary, the devil, walks like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But notice this. Resist him. Steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Peter, what are you saying? You're not the only ones going through it. Hang in there. Hold on. You got one goal. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's the only goal we have. And when we hear those words, then we know that we're going to be all right. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12. When we can endure suffering for the cause of Christ, then we know that we're healthy spiritually. We got to hang in there. But we have to train ourselves in righteousness. It takes time to get in shape. This is why when someone obeys the gospel, you're not putting them in front of the congregation to teach and preach. They got to learn some things. They got to endure some things. They got to be able to stand. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 12, notice there what the Bible has to say. Yea, and all who live godly in Christ Jesus at times maybe will suffer persecution. That's not what the Bible says. You will. You will go through some things. It's all right. It's okay. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 through 16, notice what the Bible here says. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you're, now notice this, that you partake of Christ's suffering. That's interesting. Rejoice. We ought to be rejoicing when we stand up for the truth. When we're persecuted, the answer is yes. That when his glory is revealed, I mean when he comes, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, meaning when people talk about you, they treat you ill for the name of Christ, blessed are you. For the spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. On your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, thief, an evildoer, or busybody in other people's matters. But notice this. Yet if anyone suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this behalf. Oh, the beauty of suffering as a Christian. It's not easy, but this is why we need one another. This is why we need the Word of God. This is why we have to be sound in the faith. And at any time we do a self-examination after we look into the perfect law of liberty, into the mirror of God's Word, and find something that is wanting and lacking, friends, we get that fixed, we call a brother or a sister, and we hurry up because we want to be sound in the faith. We're not talking about losing an IRA. We're not talking about losing some property. We're not talking about losing even our own bodies. We're talking about gaining glory with God. Friends, the beauty of being sound in the faith causes us to appreciate the table of the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we understand, I'm not going to read all of this. Matter of fact, I'm not going to read none of it. I'm just going to refer to it. Verses 12 through 26 talks about the body and how every single piece of the body is valuable, important. You know, you can tell when a person is not healthy when they don't see every member of the Lord's church as valuable. Every single member of your family is valuable. Whether they're faithful or not, they're valuable. You know why they're valuable? Because they have a soul. They're made in the very image of God. You'll never come across a person who is not valuable to God. Never. And so it doesn't matter what a person does. God says, I want him or her saved. You know how that causes us to look at people? It causes us to look at people just like God does. I need you saved. I want you to be in Christ. I want you to be in the kingdom. I want you to be healthy. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 12 through 26, we see that everybody has value. And a healthy view of Scripture causes all of us, or should cause all of us, to see all of us as being valuable. But we have different jobs, different functions, but we're all valuable. And so the beauty of seeing everyone being valuable as a family is important. Let me make this comment. Brethren, we're not just people we go to church with. We're family. Now, I know it's hard for some of us, because some of us don't trust nobody. But if God trusts us enough to put the gospel in our hands, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we ought to trust one another. We're family. Same blood. Isn't it interesting that everyone who's in the family of God is precious? 1 Peter chapter 2. Isn't it interesting that everyone who's in the family of God was purchased by the blood of Christ? 1 Peter 1:18. Everyone who's in the family of God had to come in contact with the blood of Christ. Galatians 3:26. Everyone that's in the family of God are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:29. Friends, we're family. Let's look at each other as family. Some people don't even have family, so when they come to Christ, we're their only family. The beauty of being sound in the faith is that I see everybody who's in Christ as family. But Brother Mike, what if he's false? He's still family. I need to help him get sound. There it is some truth that the older generation like to hold on to things. They hold on to marriages, they hold on to cars, they hold on to bonds, they hold on to a whole bunch of stuff. I think those of us who are younger can learn something from that. We live in a throwaway society. But to be sound in the faith, you got to hold on. You got to keep some things. And so what some people do is that they stop holding on to sound doctrine. And they start holding on to what man says. Friends, sound doctrine means that we're family. And everyone who is sound in the faith and remains sound in the faith are going to be in heaven with God one day. What a privilege. Let me make this point. I see my brother Charlton here. It's good to see you, brother. For those who don't know, Sister Edith went from earth to glory. She died in the Lord. Let me say this. We're going to leave here and go home. You've got to be sound. You've got to be sound in the faith. It's sobering. And so we want to be with God right now so we can be with God later. But it requires us to be healthy. Let me give you this point. What will soundness in the faith require? Number one, it will require education in the Word and in the will of God. Number two, it will require meditation upon the Word and our actions. Number three, it will require application of the things understood from the Word of God. Number four, it will require proclamation of the truth after the above are grasped. Friends, God wants us to be sound in the faith. And when we're sound in the faith, then we're beautiful. Because there is a great beauty of remaining with this great, great book, the Bible, the Word of God. Are you sound? There are so many preachers out today that are not preaching sound doctrine, and you could tell because the members don't live sound lives. They have unsound opinions. They have unsound reasoning. Friends, God wants us to be sound. He wants us to be healthy. He wants us to be upright. He wants us to be erect. That's what God wants. And so if you're unsound physically, do something about it. If you're unsound emotionally, do something about it. If you're unsound spiritually, do something about it. My mom said on one occasion, and I found it to be true after being stung by a scorpion spiritually. Sometimes people just want to hear themselves talk. It's not that they're trying to be healthy. They just want to talk. Even the world that we know in sports understand that talk is cheap. Let's be healthy. And one thing I love about the members here, many of y'all love the truth. Many of y'all are living righteous lives, and it's obvious. But there are some. And as an elder, I can say this, there are some. You're not. And you need to get healthy. Because it's not the preacher that you need to get mad at. Yourself. The doctor can prescribe their medicine, but if you go to the pharmacy and if you take it home and put it in the medicine cabinet and don't take it, it won't be good. And so, take the medicine. Get healthy. Because it's so beautiful to be healthy. maybe you're not a child of God. If you're not a child of God spiritually, you're not healthy. Why? Because salvation, spiritual strength, being erect is in Christ. The only way to get in Christ is to obey the gospel. That great news, the good news of Jesus Christ suffering, bleeding, dying on the cross, being raised the third day for the sin of mankind, the propitiation, the satisfaction, the one that God sent, the God-man in the flesh, the only one of his kind, Jesus the Christ, the Savior, son of man, the Son of God, the Son of a woman. Friends, you got to obey him. If people want to obey Allah and Confucius and Buddha and all of those, but you got to obey Jesus if you want to go to heaven. If you want to be healthy, you got to obey Jesus. Why? Because Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Jesus said, repent and be baptized. That's Jesus. Don't you want to obey Jesus? Don't you want to be healthy? Believe him. Repent of your sins. Confess Jesus Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water. Brother Mike, my preacher said baptism is not necessary for salvation. If you want to be healthy, you got to listen to Jesus. It's sad that it takes more to get into Christ in denominationalism than it does to get into their church. Can't ask Jesus in your heart. You can't say a sinner's prayer. You have to obey the gospel. And that gospel is what saves. Romans 1:16. And God will do something amazing in your life. He'll wash away all of your sins. He'll cleanse you from unrighteousness. You're able to approach God in prayer, in worship. Hebrews 9:14-15. You'll be able to do something that you've never done before. And that's to come before him clean. And then you can get to know God as much as you want. But he got to clean you up before you can really get to know him deeply. Maybe a child of God. And you're not sound. You're not healthy. I say the only thing wrong with not being healthy is staying unhealthy. Let's get healthy. Let's get healthy in everything that we're saying and doing. We can't be a person here and another person somewhere else. We can't do that. That's unhealthy. Let's be healthy. Let's be God's people. And then let's watch this building fill up because they're seeing that these people here, they take Christianity serious. They love God. And they're trying to get to heaven as we stand and as we sing the Savior's invitation.